You can be seated and please turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. You know, praise Jesus. Last week, Pastor Dallas from Calvary Chapel Toughness was able to come and share in Hebrews chapter 10. About 3 weeks ago, we covered the fact that God says, I love you, and the Jews are saying, how do you love us? Because, you know, things aren't so good. And he goes, because you're my chosen people and I've kept you around. I don't keep other people around, I keep you around. And that lasts to this day. And then 2 weeks ago, it was God saying, you've defiled. You're bringing defiled stuff to me. How have we defiled you? He goes, because you bring blemished sacrifices. And we covered that in depth. We're going to pick it up there today and finish that thought in chapter 1. And really, last week, when Dallas taught in Hebrews chapter 10, what a perfect parallel. He didn't even know what we were doing. And by the way, again, praise God. It's such a blessing for pastors to be able to sit down and hear totally like-minded teachers of the Word of God to just get fed, you know, and it was really a neat time, and his service is on the website for those that might have missed it. He was just a real sweet brother. But responding to the sufficient sacrifice, he was emphasizing what the book of Hebrews chapter 10 says, Jesus is that perfect sacrifice, and what is our response for that? Well, see, we're going back 2,400 and plus years in Malachi to where Malachi is again emphasizing, you guys are messing with a sacrificial system by what you're doing in violation of the law, and thus you're messing with the shadow of the fact that Jesus is coming, and he's going to fulfill this. And so it's so important, and it applies to us today, as we covered 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to continue to cover today. And so, and then we're going to see today that God rebukes the priests for what? What does he want to rebuke the pure priests for? For not teaching the Word of God. Because as soon as priests don't teach the Word of God, then the people do what they want to do, and the people get corrupted, and then they're no longer the witness people of God. Does that happen today? You know, no priests, but pastors in the new dispensation of the church. And the job that God gave to pastors is to teach. Pastor teachers is the gifting. And what we should be teaching is not our favorite jokes, but what God has said. So, you know, as you, for those who have been around for a while, my mission is to do that. And I want you to hold me accountable to that. Kevin, you know, we want the mission to be teaching the Word of God because that's what God said and that's what my soul needs. If you're a true believer today, what do you need? You need the Word of God inside of you, especially in this corrupted world. And if we don't do that, we corrupt along with the world. And so, and we're going to see that. That's what God is saying. And as a result of the priests not preaching the Word of God, men were starting to dump their wives for floozies in the nations around them. And that really gets God mad too. And so, once again, if we don't stay true to the holiness of God, if we don't stay true to the turning away from sin and rebellion, what happens? Sinful corruption and morality will sweep in to churches and into your life. And this is a secret. You know, a lot of people are corrupted by immorality and things going on with families and everything else. Guarantee it's because you've gotten away from the Word of God. You've gotten away from the fearful love of the Word of God. And we're going to exhort myself, and I'm going to exhort you, and we better double down in our love for God. And in fact, as I've shared this before, if we do end up in a detention camp, I'm going to say, I want a Bible, because you didn't let me bring my one from home. Oh, we're not going to let you have that. I've really purposed, and you can pray for me if I go into one and you're not there yet. So pray for Kevin, because I'm not going to eat until they give me a Bible. For two reasons. I don't want to stay in a detention camp more than a month. And which, if you don't eat for a month, you're dead. So to just make the witnessing point. To just tell them, you know, the word, you know, God's word is more important to me than food. And we should have that attitude. So, refresher of verse 6 through 8. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests, pastors, who despise my name. Yet you say, in what ways have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible, And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Now, if you weren't here for our study 2 weeks ago, then I'm not going to repeat, but I'm going to say, here's how it applies to us. It would be you pastors who offer a fake Jesus. You offer a blemished Jesus. A Jesus, pastors that are questioning, they'll bring their congregants in and say, you know, we're a progressive church, and so we're going to have a little dialogue here. Well, you know, does Jesus really have to have been born of a virgin? What's the answer? Yes. He has to have been born of a virgin. He has to be the God-man. Otherwise, why is he not the Son of God? If he's not the Son of God, he isn't fulfilling the prophecies to die for our sins and to raise again so that we can have everlasting life. But there's pastors all over the world that are questioning the virgin birth of Jesus, a blemished Jesus. Do we really have to say that Jesus is the only way to be saved? Yes. Because if Jesus isn't the only way to be saved, then Jesus lied. If he lied, he's not our Savior. He's in sin by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. So, yes, he has to be the only way to be saved. Which means, is everybody going to heaven? Some pastors have taught, written books, saying everybody gets to go to heaven, called universalism in the theology. That's a blemished Jesus. Because Jesus came into the world to die for the sins. Well, why did he have to do that if everybody gets to go to heaven? Because love wins, which is the title of the book that was written to say everybody wins. A blemished Jesus. Oh, how about that Jesus lusted after Mary and had a baby with her? You know, and that when that movie came out and people were writing that and saying, just flocks of Christians, church-going people thought, well, maybe that's true. Should we even give a second of thinking that's true? No, because it violates the truth of the Word of God. See, this one thing when I went from being a total pagan, but wanting to know the truth about life, and when I found out, oh, this is breathed by God. This Bible is breathed by God. And that God is a truthful God. What's in here is true. Everybody, let God be true and every man a liar is what the Bible says. But there's pastors that are saying that. How about the Mormon Catholic Jesus is the same as the biblical Jesus? Anybody saying that? How about the guy who did the TV show Chosen, the Chosen series? He says that Mormons and Christians believe in the same Jesus. That's offering a blemished lamb out to the masses. How in the world does that happen? I saw him say that. He said, I've gotten a lot of trouble for this, but my Mormon friends, and by the way, you can go read Ezra and you can read Nehemiah. And one of the things that Satan did is he got the people of the surrounding nations saying, hey, you're building the walls of Jerusalem. Let us help you. And you know what Nehemiah says? Get out of here. You have nothing to do. We're building the temple of the living God. You hate the living God. You worship your idols. What do you have to do with doing that? Some people are arguing that Dallas Jenkins is just using the Mormon satellite network and everything else and their funds that have come through it also in the planning and using their stage set and everything to get the gospel out. Well, don't use pagans to get the true gospel out. I mean, that's what the Bible would say. See, if you read the Bible, you keep from getting deceived. Because, and here's the thing. You know, I've heard that the show is relatively nice about teaching about Jesus, but it can quickly flip to all of a sudden the Mormons saying, we're going to write the next script, and the next script is going to be Jesus visiting the Americas and preaching to the Native American lost 10 tribes of Israel. And then what? After all these people have donated all this money, and then it could come. It hasn't come yet, but is that what Satan would do? You get involved with the devil. What would have happened if they would have let Sanballat and Tobias help them to build the wall? What would they have done? They would have put in, you know, bad mortar, other things to corrupt the wall, to make it so it's not going to build the wall of Jerusalem to defend. It would have been to get a chink in their army to get to him later. We have to understand that the Word of God, everything about the Word of God is for us to have discernment and to know what to do. How about the Jesus that doesn't care about whether I sin or not? Because I don't care. What did Jesus say to people that got saved? Go and sin no more. You know, we're supposed to strive to live a holy life. And it's not like, okay, I'm going to do it. You have the whole, if you're truly saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, you're going to talk different. Kevin, you're going to talk different. You're going to stop sucking down beers at lunch. And you're going to stop doing this and this and this, and you're going to start serving me. And it's just like, oh yeah, I want to, because why? You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're going to change. You're changing me. But some people teach, you know, hey, who cares? You can do whatever. So, Malachi 1:9. So that's kind of a quick review of 2 weeks ago, applying it to today. So priests then were allowing people to bring lame sacrifices. Why? Probably because the people said, if you don't let me do the lame one, I'm not coming here anymore. And so you better teach me what I want to hear, or I'm not going to come anymore. But now, entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us, while this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. So, but now entreat God's favor. What does that mean? Repent. You know, you're doing something God doesn't want you to do. So why don't you entreat God's favor? God, I think I want your favor. Do we want God's favor? I want God's favor. And so to entreat God's favor, to be repent, that he may be gracious to us. Because, you know, as soon as, what does God say? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so what does it take for these priests? It'd be, you know, God, we have been messing up. We've been allowing these people to do these things, and I want to stop. That means I get humble with God. I say, I'm wrong, you're right. And then what does God do? He does it the day we get saved. If we humble ourselves, God, I'm a sinner. I don't want to do it anymore. You're my Savior. You're willing to save me, God. I want you to save me. He gives grace. He showers his grace upon you. And grace is getting something that you don't deserve. What do we get? Everlasting life. The promise of everlasting life. Getting our names written in the book of life. That he may be gracious to us while this, blemished sacrifices, is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably? No. You don't got the right Jesus. You haven't got Jesus. Let everybody really let that sink in. We have to believe in the biblical Jesus. We have to put all our faith and trust in the biblical Jesus. Or on the day that you die, you don't have God. You don't have everlasting life. We don't get to just believe in whatever Jesus we want to. We have to believe in the Jesus of the Bible. Or we're in trouble. You know, the priests didn't hold the fort in Israel's day. And I fear that many pastors are not holding the fort in this day. Who is there, even among you, who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. So what was God saying to them then? Isn't there a single priest that is going to shut the doors of the temple and say, we're not bringing any blood of any messed up sacrifice into the holy place until we get squared away with God? Is there anybody that's going to stand up and do what's right here in the service of God? What was the answer? No. What would be the applicability to today? In my Christian lifetime, I've watched the church from really, there was, when I first got saved, the church for the most part was wanting to teach the Word of God. The church for the most part was acting like salt and light in this dark world. People had, just generally people in society knew the Ten Commandments because the church had taught it and people were talking about it. And they knew how to have a fear of God. In fact, when I was even growing up, there was still, you know, it was bad for a woman to lose her virginity, although the sexual revolution was getting full tilt to change all that. But why was that the case? Well, because of the influence of the Word of God that was taught from the pulpits of America. It was really bad to divorce. It was really bad to have, oh, you have a bastard child. Oh. You know, those kind of words instead of, now we have less than half of the children have a mommy daddy when they're born into the world in America. Why is that? Because the church has lost its savor. And people have tried to maintain it. When Rick Warren, who was one of the major instigators of changing the church 20-some years ago, with the purpose-driven church, and his premise was to pastors, look around at your congregation. they're getting old. Because the only people that want to hear this stuff about doctrine and holiness and serving God and the Ten Commandments and stuff are just these old fuddy-duddies that are going to get older and they're going to die and you're going to look out someday and see nobody. So you better change the message. And so some of the old fuddy-duddies were saying, no, you can't mess with the Word of God. You can't change. You must be born again. You must be believe in Jesus to just find your purpose in your life, and then you're good with God, as long as you find your purpose to help minister to people, to be nice to somebody. Change the gospel of Jesus Christ to the church, which then spread to hundreds of thousands of pastors across the world. And there were people that were standing up. And you know what Rick Warren's advice to those pastors in his books, you know what his advice in his books and lectures were? Somebody would say, but these are the pillars of the church that you're rejecting, Pastor. These are the pillars of the church that are coming. And Rick would say, just tell them. You know, what do pillars do? They hold things up. What is it? You know, they're holding up the change of the church. Just let them go so that the change can happen. Don't worry about the pillars of the church. So people were trying to do this. See, there were people, even some among you, why don't you try and shut the door, stop the pastors from going down this path of changing the gospel, changing the emphasis of what Jesus told the church to do? And they said, there's the door, go find it. Go through it. But praise Jesus, they're still pastors. You know, again, I didn't know Dallas at all. And you know, wasn't it a blessing to have a pastor like Dallas? And there's pastors that are committed to the truth. And to hear other pastors is just such a blessing to me. And we're going to hear, you know, some more of it tonight in our evening service for the Behold He Comes series. I just love listening to people want to stick with the truth. And what you need to do is stick with people that teach the truth. Wherever you go. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands, verse 10, for verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. You know what? You know what Malachi is prophesying just before 400 years of no prophets in Israel? You know what he's prophesying? The church. He's saying, really, I'm warning you priests to not mess up with the sacrifice, which is a shadow of the Jesus who's coming in 400 and some years, almost 500 years. But because you're really not going to listen, God is saying, I am going to magnify my name. And it's going to be in the Gentile world, all the nations of the world. And when it says, and they shall offer incense every place, not Jerusalem, not the temple, every place on planet Earth is going to offer incense to God's name. Now, what is incense symbolic of in the scriptures? Prayers of the saints, according to Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. So what God is saying is, you know, I'm warning you. I know you're not going to do it. So the next phase, 400 some years from now, after you letting go through some more trouble, because now they have the rebuilt temple, you know, so they come back from Babylon, they're living in Jerusalem, they have the rebuilt temple, but they're corrupting it. And then, you know, a couple 300 years later, the Seleucian general Antiochus Epiphanes stops the Jews from worshiping then, defiles the temple again, kicks them out, period of the Maccabean. And then the temple's built again, and it's still corrupt in Jesus' day. And then Jesus puts an end to it, 70 AD, and the church is born. And now, all over the world, I hope it's everybody here, you're saying, God, forgive me a sinner. Sweet incense to God. And every time, you know, we don't have to go to the Western Wall, bow, stick our note in the wall. Although I did when I was there. And it's fun to do. But we don't have to do that. Where do we have to go? Anywhere. Anywhere I can just say, oh, Jesus, this world is getting dark. It's affecting my family. This, I'm just calling on to you. I'm calling on you, Lord, because you saved my soul. Help me to have wisdom in these days. Sweet incense to God, no matter where we are. Isn't that awesome to be able to be in the constant presence of God through his son, Jesus Christ, instead of going to some holy place that's been corrupted. So, but now the apostate church is corrupted and the church is soon to be taken away, because God was prophesying basically the day is coming where you're being pushed off to the side. I'm going to use the Gentiles. And now we've seen a corruption of us. And what Romans chapter 11 prophesied is there's going to be a time where the church gets corrupt and God is going to pull the real church to go be with him, leave the apostate church to go into the tribulation period, and then start using the Jews again. So Malachi 1:11, from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it in Malachi's day, but you guys profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept it from your hand, says the Lord? Should he? No. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow. And when you make a vow, I'm going to devote my flock to God as a burnt sacrifice to God. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be a servant of God, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished, a different Jesus. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Turn to Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. You know, we read in our men's breakfast yesterday, you know, we went on to read more in Hebrews. And you know what it says there? New Testament. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We really do have to realize that it's healthy to have a fear of God. I've heard pastors teach on teaching radio. It's all grace, man. We're not supposed to have a fear of God. I have a fear of God. It's actually been beneficial to have a fear of God in my walk with God. But many people today find the idea of a holy life, having a healthy fear of God, wanting to have the Holy Spirit change them and let them walk with God, they consider that wearisome. You know, a pastor telling them, you know, and I want to encourage you to read the Bible. But it shouldn't be, Kevin says read the Bible, so, you know, okay, there. If you're truly a believer in Jesus, there should be the Holy Spirit in you. I want to know God's Word. I want to read it. I'm going to even pray sweet incense to God. I want this to be real. I don't understand a lot of it right now. Next time through, I know it'll be more. Next time through, it'll be more and more and more and more and more. And my umpteenth time through, every day, I do it just before I go to bed. Just to make sure my mind's thinking about God before I go to bed. And I've been doing it a long time. Every time there's something new. But some people find the reading of the Word of God contemptible. They find it a waste of time. And that's the way the Jews were. The Jews were finding it terrible to just go with what God has told them to do. Sacrificial system, etc. Now let's go to the book of Numbers. The Jews are wandering around in the wilderness because they didn't have faith to trust God to get rid of the giants and the tall walls and everything else that were in the land of Canaan. And God is providing a cloud by day and a fire by night. Wherever they're going, God's presence is there, a cloud by day, fire by night, never leaves them. And manna is coming down from heaven to make sure that they have something to eat. And God is providing water through split rocks and all the other places. They had water that was always provided by God. But as they were journeying along, and this is chapter 21 is after chapter 11. Chapter 11 is when they tell Moses, we're sick of this manna. We want meat like we used to have in Egypt. And so God says, okay, I'll give meat. And you can read that in Numbers 11. Now we are in Numbers 21, like they forget what happened in Numbers 11. Numbers 21:4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food. Is that true? No. There's no food they want. There's no food, no water. And our soul loathes this worthless bread. You know, what do we know about that? What was manna typifying as a shadow in the Old Testament? What is it typifying in the New Testament? Jesus as the bread of life. Jesus says in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I'm the true manna that came down from heaven. Told the woman at the well, if you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. You know, thirst with the woman at the well, telling the disciples in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. And you know what? A lot of professing Christians, fake church people, they sit there and they go, I don't want to say Jesus, I'll just say Christ. And I don't really believe in that stuff. It's all obnoxious to me. And I just, you know, this sticking with the doctrines of who Jesus is and being a reproach to the world because they think I'm a narrow-minded Jesus freak if I stick with this kind of stuff. I'm tired of it. A lot of people like that. Not anybody here, right? Nobody here. Because if you are like that, there's something seriously wrong. Because Jesus gives us everlasting life, the biblical Jesus. He's not just Christ to me, he is Jesus, which means Yeshua. And so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. No kidding. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Now, what part of the New Testament does Jesus deal with that? John chapter 3. John chapter 3, he says, the same section where God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Where Jesus said that just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, because what Moses did is he was told by God, make a bronze serpent. What is serpent representative of in the Bible? Sin. Raise that bronze serpent up on a pole, and everybody that's been bit by serpents, snakes, Satan, sin, rebellion against God, if they just simply go and gaze at the sin that's hanging on a pole and believe that that can cure you by faith, the venom will go away. And everybody says, how does gazing at a pole deal with the venom that's in my leg? I'm not going to believe. They die. They say, you know, I'm going to trust God. And if God says, even though I've sinned against him, got bit by the snake, if I go look at that serpent on a pole, that God is going to heal me, why not? I'm going to die otherwise. And they believe and they're saved. They're cured. And then Jesus says, I'm that serpent on a pole. I take the sins of the world upon myself. I'm hanging on the pole. Everybody who comes by faith to the base of the cross and look upon me and say, God, save me a sinner. Because of my rebellion against the God in the universe, I've sinned. I'm bit. The venom's in my body. I'm going to die unless you do something. God says, I'll save you. Back to Malachi 1:13. So here's a little application. Does going to church weary you? Does reading your Bible weary you? Does telling your children the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where are you? Do your kids roll their eyes? You better warn them not to go be messing around like the Israelites do. Your kids don't understand. This is real to us. And you might get wearied and your friends might think you're a nutcase, but wouldn't you rather have everlasting life than join with them and go to hell? We have to be parents that truly teach them this is real. It's not religion. It's not going through motions. It's a heartfelt thing that we're doing because God saved us. 14, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow and sacrifices the Lord with his blemish. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And, you know, our nation has lost the fear of God, wouldn't you say? And you know what? Whenever that happens, bad things happen. Yeah, and we have to understand, we talked about in our announcement time, the area is starting building detention camps here in Washington, all over the world. This is a global deception. Has the globe turned away from the fear of the God of the Bible? Yes. All the nations, they're all turning away. Did the Bible say it would be that way in the last days? Yes. Did the Bible say that as a result of the globe turning away, that they will, you know, because everybody in the world rejected the truth. What does it say? God gives them over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God gives them over to a delusion, to a lie, that they will believe the lie because they were not lovers of the truth. Are we just out of our minds going crazy as people who believe and love the truth, so we're not given over to a delusion? We're not believing a lie, and we sit there. How could you detain people that are not vaccinated when the vaccinated are getting sick and some of the unvaccinated have had natural immunity? How can you detain natural immunity people and consider them a threat to the people that are vaccinated when you told the people vaccinated, this is the way out of this, you get vaccinated and you're the way out, and they're the ones getting sick, and they're the ones spreading it around to people, and people can't figure that out? It is because there is a strong demonic delusion going on in our world. And they look at you, and you can tell them that, and they go, you're lying to me. So you speak truth, and Satan turns it into a lie. And it is amazing to watch. But what sets us free is to be in love with the truth and not loving our lives even to the death. That's how we overcome the devil. The devil's he's ramping it up. And what it says in Revelation chapter 12, that we overcame him by the testimony of our Jesus, and that we did not love our lives even to the death. We're going to serve Jesus until he takes us home. So, chapter 2, Malachi 2:1. And now, O priests, this dress down is for you. It says, this commandment is for you. Next several verses, a rebuke against the priests. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Does this apply to us today? Again, the corruption of the church leads to the corruption of the nation. And mostly the corruption of the church starts by the people wanting corruption, because then they don't want to listen to priests. So then the priests change the message. And then the whole thing corrupts. And, it's to me, I can't say God bless America anymore, because I know it's a lie. Because what God has said is, I will send a curse on you and I will curse your blessings. Are we being blessed as a country today? No. You know what I want to say? No, skip. Before we ask for God to bless America, let's start blessing God. Let's call people to say, do you realize what we have done? I mean, just look at the commercials that are on TV. Guys kissing guys, girls kissing girls, all this other stuff. All this other, just disgusting things in our culture. All the immorality, all the porn, all the sex trafficking and enslavement, all the lying and judicial tyranny that's going on, and bribes and extortions of justice, and nobody, a bunch of people locked up in solitary confinement in America. They can't even have a senator to go in and see them, and just, I mean, really? Wow. It's gone. The blessings of America are gone. And this was fulfilled because the priests then didn't listen. So like I said, 400 years of silent years, 400 years, no prophets. God says, okay, they don't listen anyway. Boom, I'm shutting down the prophets. Let them go do their own thing. And so 400 years of relative misery. And then, Jesus comes, the new temple made by Herod and everything. Jesus comes. And then, boom, then 70 AD, everything's shut down then. And now the church is here. But the church, we're starting to repeat history as a church. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Now, I literally think this is probably fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes, because again, the Seleucian general came and he told the Jews, okay, I'm in charge now. And if you want to stay alive, here's what you got to do. No more bulls and goats. You're going to slaughter a pig on the temple. And I'm going to make every single, you're not allowed to, if I find a scroll of the scriptures in your house or in your synagogue, I will burn it down, I will burn the scroll, and I will kill anybody that's responsible for it being there. You Jews, you can't circumcise your children on the eighth day. You do, I'll kill you. I'll kill your children, I'll kill you. I'm going to go into each town, my soldiers are going to go into the towns, and they're going to make everybody gather around, And the priest is going to have to slaughter a pig, and people are going to have to eat of that sacrifice, which to the Jews, like, that's like, you know, how can you do that? And that's what started the Maccabean revolt, because the Maccabeans, one of the Jews there, he says, okay, this ain't going to happen. And they killed that Syrian contingent that was making them eat and sacrifice a pig. And then it spread and caused Daniel prophesied that they would come up. The Maccabean revolt would come at a time where the country was almost down to nothing. And so they experienced, and I would bet that they said, that at first they probably said, oh, you sacrificed the cow and you're trying to take the innards and set them off to the side and go deal with them. Well, I'm going to take the innards and anybody that's gutted an animal that's right there in the intestines and just smeared it on your face. This is what you're going to get from your sacrifice. I think it literally probably happened. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Again, today, pastors, there are many pastors that are allowing their facilities to be used and sometimes even allowing their congregants to join in Chrislam services. Do you know about that? You know, since Muslims and Christians worship the same God, why not just meet under the same roof? And let's meet as Chrislam. They call it Chrislam. There's pastors that are having their people do labyrinth walks. Labyrinth walks is occultism. Yoga is occultism. That really bothers people when I say that. If you don't understand, you don't understand the history of yoga. You don't understand what the positions mean. You don't know what the mantras that you're required to speak. And you can start out with a yoga class. It's just exercise. Well, why do you have to call it yoga? Why can't you call it calisthenics? Why can't you say, we're going to get in shape? Why do you have to say we're doing yoga? Because it's tied to the deception of ultimately getting people into the religion, the demonic religion behind the whole yoga thing and Hinduism and stuff. So, I will rebuke your descendants, put refuse on your faces because of your religion, because of the refuse of your solemn feasts that are corrupted, and I'll take you away with it. It'll be, you're going to be dealt with. Revelation 2:20, talking about the corrupt church of Thyatira. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Is there an acceptance in a large part of the church today of sexual immorality? Call it homosexuality, transvestites, adultery, multiple marriages, multiple wives even, I mean, and just is that allowed today? In fact, there was, I can't remember which denomination it was, they just had a complete turnover where homosexuality isn't totally embraced in a major denomination. And so you, the quote church, which God birthed on the day of Pentecost and made holy at the beginning, I mean, holy to the point where Ananias and Sapphira lied about how much money they got for their property deal. They dropped debt. Now I put the fear in them, and there was a purity in the early days of the church. But now, and the same thing happened with the Jews. There was a purity when they left Egypt, and there was things that God was doing. When they went into the promised land, and Achan decides to hide some gold and some idols in his tent, from the city of Jericho, and God nailed it. Would that have put the fear of the people that, man, he got found out because they just cast lots and it went to Achan? God let Joshua know who it was, because if you were doing something and I were able to say, oh, we're gonna do draw straws here until we find out who's sinning in the congregation. And then, there's no way they're gonna find me. It's too much chance. You know, I don't even buy the lotto tickets, you know. And then it gets down to you, and everybody else go, okay. There was purity, but then purity goes away. And that's what happened to the corrupt church of Thyatira. And he says, so I sent you, and I told you not to do this, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. there is a fake church alive and well today on earth. And it's going to go into the Great Tribulation because it's not filled with people who truly believe in the biblical Jesus and worship him and have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And it's a tragic thing. And they're going to go into the Great Tribulation. But the real church is someday going to get raptured off of this planet. The Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love, who has little strength but has not denied his name and has kept his word. And that one will be delivered from the time that is going to test the entire world. And we want to be part of that. Don't deny his name. What does his name mean? God is the only way to be saved through Jesus. You know, the only way to be saved is through Jesus. That's what Jesus means. God's salvation. You know, God is saying, I'm giving him his name, Yeshua, which means this is God's salvation. He's the only way to be saved, and I'm not denying his word. And what his word is front to back. His word applies to me. He is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and King of kings. And there is nobody else I'm going to bow to. And the world can say I'm a nutcase for believing in this Jesus. I don't care because they're nuts. You're not nuts. You know, if you believe Jesus, they're nuts. And they'll figure that out someday. So great tribulation, lest they repent of the deeds. I will kill their children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds, the hearts, and will give to each one according to your works. You know, not, and it's not like, okay, I got to have a gold star then. I got to go to church every day because I want to believe in Jesus. No, the works is I have faith in Jesus. The rest comes after that. You want to have time with God's people. You want to read your Bible. You want to turn away from sinful living. Even though you might not do it, you just, oh, God, help me. I know I got corrupted again. I want to live in holiness with you. That is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants, Malachi 2:3, going back to Malachi. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feast, your religion, without a heart for God. And one will take you away with it. You're going to be taken away again. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. He's basically saying, go back to the beginning. Now, for those of you that have read through the Bible, God's ignoring the fact that Aaron, a descendant of Levi, you know, God chose the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, or 12 sons of Israel, was the tribe of Levi. And God said, that's the tribe that I want to be the priest. I want the priest to educate the people on the word of God, the law. I want them, that's their mission. Everybody else, you go farm, you go raise sheep, you go raise cows, you do all that stuff, but the Levites, you teach the people the word of God so that they can learn to fear God, so that they will be a witness to the world. That's your job. And Levi, one of the, you know, descendants of Levi, Aaron became the high priest. And then the high priests were the ones that had the big job. I won't, you know, belabor explaining any more than that. And when we look at Aaron, he was the guy, when the people wanted to worship the golden calf, he helps them do it. And then when Moses comes down, Aaron, what are you doing? Well, you know, these people, Moses, they just are really idolaters, and they gave me their gold and I threw it in the fire and out popped this cow. Are we messed up as people or what? It's always somebody else's fault. Us guys know it's all our wife's fault all the time. And the wives know it's all the husband's fault all the time. And we can't ever get home and go, yep, Moses, I did it. I turned into an idolater, and I know we're not supposed to do that. God have mercy on me. But see, he did repent, and God used him to be a high priest. At the time, he wasn't a high priest yet. And God said, you know, I'm going to use him anyway. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you can fall into sin and God can still use you? His mercy and grace, which is given to us, what? When we humble ourselves and say, God, forgive me again. So he, you know, God is saying, look back at the beginning. Levi was teaching the people. And then he's saying, and now here, hundreds and hundreds of years later, you guys aren't. You guys aren't teaching the people the word of God. And Levi did. And I set them up to be that in that mission. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips, verse 6. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. You know what the church is? The church isn't so much the pastor now. Each one of you is the priesthood of the believer. You know what your mission is? Is your mission is to tell people about Jesus, the Word of God, the law of God, so that you can help people turn away from their iniquity. And see, that's what they were doing. Turn away from iniquity, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Pureness comes from the fear of the Word of God. And where does the fear of the, what does it say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do we fear the Lord? We know what God says. And we know that whenever we mess with God's plan, bad things happen. And so I'll be giving wisdom if I say, this is what God says, and then you gain wisdom when you say, and the fear of the Lord, the fear of God's word is what gives me wisdom. The pureness of the apostles. Then it was the priest and the law of God. Now it's the apostles, the doctrine of the apostles, that we would read what they say and believe it. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi. Now the new covenant, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Let's turn to Malachi 2:7. It's not in your notes. This is the paraphrase of 7 and 8. And I usually don't like using paraphrase Bibles, but I like the way the Living Bible reads this. So I'm just looking at 2:7 again. But here's what it reads in a paraphrase version. Priest's lips, say pastor's lips, and your lips. Because again, you are able to preach this truth too. Put your name in there. Kevin's lips should flow with the knowledge of God so the people will learn God's laws. Kevin is a messenger of the Lord God Almighty. And men should come to them for guidance. Oh, but not you. For you have left God's paths. Your guidance has caused many to stumble in sin. You have distorted the covenant of Levi and made it into a grotesque parody, says the Lord Almighty. So you're either going to communicate the truth of God's word and God's holiness and what he stands for, what he calls evil being evil and what he calls good being good. You're either going to have that come out of your mouth so that people can have a chance to get into the fear of God and to learn how to humble themselves before him. Or you're going to be saying, oh, not me. I'm going to cause people to stumble into sin. Because I'm going to say, you can do what you want. God is love. Everybody gets to heaven anyway. Doesn't matter who you believe in. Doesn't it say God in the Bible, God is love? How could God send anybody to hell? Now, that's not loving. So I'm going to erase the rest of the Bible. And I'm going to say everybody goes to heaven. I'm going to make a lot of money writing a book to say so. Okay, that person is just like these. And, you know, we're going to go farther, but we're out of time. Once again, I want to emphasize, there is a corrupt church on the world. No dispute there. Everybody kind of agrees with that. And there's also a remnant church. There's the true church, the true believer. And my mission as your pastor is that everybody in this room would be part of the remnant church. If you are, there's going to be difficult days ahead because the corrupt world hates the light. And you are going to be the light. You're going to tell people the truth. And they're not going to like that. Just like cockroaches don't like it when you turn the light on. And you know, I was a cockroach once, so I know. But I decided to be morphed into a sheep. From a cockroach to a sheep. I hated the light. When people would tell me about the Bible, oh, you Christians are just like, phew. And God changed me. And now I want to be a light. And see, we should all empathize with cockroaches because we are all one. So we should lovingly communicate to them. I've already mentally started thinking about the discussion across the table in a detention center. And you know what I've decided? This is really what I'm thinking. Should it ever happen? And people go, oh, Kevin, you are so paranoid. No, actually, I'm just reading the news. But it's like, you know, they want to say, well, what's your stance on this and this? And I go, how could I pray for you? How are things going? How did you get? Do you know my Jesus? No, you're changing the subject. No, this is going to be the subject. This is going to be the subject every time you come in. And I know you think I'm psychotic and you're probably going to want to shoot something in my veins to turn me normal. But this is my message. How can I pray for you? You're in trouble. You think I'm in trouble because I'm sitting on the other side of the table. But actually, you're in trouble because you're sitting on the wrong side of God. And you have a chance to get right with God. So, and that message goes to you today. If there's anybody here that you're not on the right side of God, time's running out. Because people are dropping dead all over the world because of the jab and the consequences of the jab. They're dropping dead. Things are happening. People are going to be rounded up. Things are going to change. And we've got this short little time still of freedom to give the message of the true gospel to people. And even after our freedom might be lost, we get to do it with the wisdom that God gives us. And let's just prepare our hearts for that, because it's an awesome thing to serve a mighty God. Father, we thank you for your word. And I just, God, we stand in awe of how your prophet 2,400 years ago speaks to our day. Speaks to our hearts, God. And Lord, if there be any vile thing in us, that you would just prick us with that Holy Spirit. Just, we want to be done with it, Lord. We want to live in righteousness with you. We want to live in holiness. You've already made us righteous, Lord, in your eyes. Positionally, we're already there with you, but we want it to be real in our experience, God. And help us, God, to be courageous. And in the days that are ahead, help us to double down on being in love with your word. And God, as all these saints would open up their Bibles and prick us all, Lord, to just pick it up as the holy word that it is. And just beg you and ask you for your Holy Spirit to bring something new and fresh, that it would never be something contemptible to us, that we'd never look at it like the manna that came down in the days of Moses and Joshua, that we would love it, Lord, like we love our own soul. And we thank you, Lord, for this time of worshiping you, and we thank you for what you've done to save us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song.
To come.
There's only one place to get help, one doctor, the Lord Jesus, and I will wait for you, maybe not much longer, so keep that in mind, but no matter how long the wait, we wait patiently and with fervor for the day that he comes. Be watchful, because he's coming. God bless you, keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.